Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jasona Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Chiravana Shari. Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Chiravana Shari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Paramahamsa Parivraja Kacharya Ashutra Shutashi Shri Marisa Bangra Shri Bhaktivananta Swami Prabhupada Ki Raja Granta Shri Ma Bhagavatam Ki Samveda Bhaktivarinda Ki Nitai Gopramanandi. All glories to the Seven Devotees. All glories to the Seven Devotees. All glories to the Seven Devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. O namo bhagavate vasudevaya. O namo bhagavate vasudevaya. O namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Dikshita brahmasatrena. Sarva bhutatma medhasa pratityam dishi velayam siddho bhut yatra janjali. Oops, janjali. Dikshita brahmasatrena. Sarva bhutatma medhasa pratityam dishi velayam siddho bhut yatra jajali. Nikshita brahmasatrena sarvabhutatma medasa pratityam dishi velayam Sindhu Bhunyatra Jajali. Nishita Vana Satrina. Sarambu Tantra Medasa. Priti Chamdishi Velayam. Sindhu Bhunyatra Jajali. Mothers. Dikshita brahmasatrena sarvam bhutatma medasa pratichaṁ diṣive layam siddho bhūnyatra jājali nikṣita brahma satrena sarva bhūtantva medhasa pratichaṁ diṣive layam Sindhu Bhunyatra Jajalihi Dikshita, being determined, Brahma Satrena, by understanding of the Supreme Spirit, Sarva, all, Bhuta, living entities, Atma Medhasa, considering like oneself, Pratichyam, in the western, Dishi, direction, Velayam, on the seashore, Siddha, perfect, Abhut, became, Yatra, where, Jajali, the great sage Jajali. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation, the Prachetas went to the seashore in the west, where the great liberated sage Jajali was residing. After perfecting the spiritual knowledge by which one becomes equal toward all living entities, the Prachetas became perfect in Krishna consciousness. Purport. The word Brahma Sutra means cultivation of spiritual knowledge. Actually, both the Vedas and severe austerity are known as Brahma. Vedas Tattvam Tapo Brahma. Brahma also means the absolute truth. One has to cultivate knowledge of the absolute truth by pursuing studies in the Vedas and undergoing severe austerities and penances. The Prachetas properly executed this function and consequently became equal to all other living entities. As Bhagavad Gita 18:54 confirms, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana Shochati Nakangshati Samar Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. Quote, one who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. End quote. When one actually becomes spiritually advanced, he does not see the difference between one living entity and another. This platform is attained by determination. When perfect knowledge is expanded, one ceases to see the outward covering of the living entity. He sees rather the spirit soul within the body. Thus he does not make distinction between a human being and an animal, a learned brahmana and a chandala. Vidya avinaya sampane brahmani gavi haistini shuni chaiva shvapakecha pandita samadarshinaha. Quote, the humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow and elephant, a dog and a dog eater, outcasts. End quote. Bhagavad Gita chapter 5, verse 18. Last paragraph. A learned person sees everyone equally on a spiritual basis, and a learned person, a devotee, wants to see everyone developed in Krishna consciousness. The place where the Prachetas were residing was perfect for executing spiritual activities, for it is indicated that the great sage Jajali attained mukti, liberation there. One desiring perfection or liberation should associate with a person who is already liberated. This is called sadhu sangha, associating with a perfect devotee. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om agyanta mirandasya gnajana shalakaya chakshuru militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa gadamayam Dadati swapadantikam Vanshakalpaturubhyascha Kripa sindubhyarevacha Patitanam bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.
So we're hearing about the Prachetas leaving household situation, perfecting their lives. That is what's being discussed in this section. So it says here that the Prachetas, by following Brahma Satrena, Prabhupada says the word Brahma Satrena, the word Brahma refers to the absolute truth. And the absolute truth, understanding of the absolute truth is understood or ascertained by the learning the Vedas from proper authority and by executing austerity. So by Dikshita means determination. So by determination to learn the Vedas and perform the necessary austerities for realizing the absolute truth, as a result of that, Sarva Bhutatma Medusa, they became equal towards all living entities. Atma Medusa means they can see all living entities like themselves, which means a spiritual vision, because obviously on the material platform, we are all very variegated. But on the spiritual platform, there's a oneness. Just like we are not this body, so the example Prabhupada often gives for this is motor car. So just like we're not the motor car, but we're the driver of the motor car. So there may be many varieties of cars outside. They all look very different. Some of them look very, you know, modern language, broke off. Like we have a Toyota Corolla from like 1989. You know, somehow or other it's still going on. And then there are other cars that are 2012 Mercedes-Benz that looks a little bit nicer. So the cars are variegated, but in all the cars there are human drivers. So on the platform of humanity, there's a oneness. That doesn't mean that every human in the car, they're all one entity. But on the platform of humanity, there's a oneness, although the cars are different. So if one is actually executing, understanding spiritual knowledge by hearing from the proper authority and executing the proper prescribed austerities, dikshita, with determination, then the result of that is that he gains his vision, spiritual vision, that all living entities are like myself. And therefore, I find myself very respectable. So I can offer respect to other living entities. It's only possible on the platform of spiritual vision. And then, where did they do this? They perfected this knowledge or vision on the the ashram of Jajali, the sage Jajali, who received liberation there. So they also became liberated at the same spot where the sage Jajali became liberated. That may not mean much for us. We don't know who Jajali is. We're not going to that. So that's the basic feel of the verse. So what Srila Prabhupada is discussing specifically in the purport, some very important points, nice points. Srila Prabhupada describes the nectar of devotion that in order to start the practice of devotional service, one need only be attracted to it somehow. And then mercifully, Srila Prabhupada has given many things to be attracted to. Prasadam, kirtan, friendly devotees, etc. The literatures, they're attractive for very few people. The covers are attractive. Once people start reading them and it's like, God, 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 they become a little upset. Anyway, so Srila Prabhupada has expanded many things that are attractive. So, and then one can begin his practice just by being attracted to the Krishna consciousness movement. He can begin sadhana. Like sometimes people ask us, how do I join? So we can tell them, well, just by being attracted, you've already joined. but to practice pure devotional service, Srila Prabhupada teaches in the Nectar of Devotion, one has to come to the platform of Brahma Bhuta. So this verse is, and then Prabhupada quotes this verse. Brahma Bhuta prasanatma na shokshati na kankshati sarva sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktam labhate param. So mad bhaktam labhate param means pure devotional service. So before that line comes, there are three lines before that. And the first line is Brahma Bhuta, he is self-realized. The second point is, well, you can say as a concomitant factor of his self-realization, he feels joyful. Prasanatma. That's why I'm always saying the kirtan chant and be happy in the morning kirtan, like joking. If we are actually on the self-realized platform, this is the indication. One is joyful. And why is he joyful? Not show chitina consciously, the second point, is he's not hankering or lamenting about the environment. You know, some things, there is some reversal in the environment, or there is some gain in the environment. Generally, when there is some reversal in the environment, what happens? You know, we start lamenting, crying like this. And when there is some gain in the environment, we feel great ecstasy, and we think it's prasannatma. This is Brahmabhuta prasannatma. Someone glorifies my false ego, and therefore Brahmabhuta prasannatma, like this. This is going on. But actually, nashojajina consciously means there's an equanimity of mind toward the environment around him. So rather there is, in other words, he's not affected by duality. if one is affected by duality, then his mind cannot always think of Krishna. The basic principle of bhakti is always thinking of the Supreme Lord. So if one is affected by duality, then Krishna also says that in Gita, right? Nirdwanda moha nirmukta bhajanti mam dridhavrataha. One who is impacted by duality, he says it in the positive way, I'm saying it in the negative way. One who is impacted by duality, then he will not be able to be determined in his Krishna consciousness, determinately think of Krishna. So that's the second point that is required. And then the third point is sarvas, what is that? Sarveshu bhuteshu. He sees all living entities equally on the spiritual platform. Then that person attains pure devotion to Krishna. So if we want to do bhakti, we need only be attracted to it, sadhana. We only need to be attracted. But if we want to be pure devotees, at some point, that is the purpose of the movement, believe it or not, is to actually become pure devotees. And it is possible, believe it or not, to become pure devotees. Even in one lifetime, it's possible. But but he has to meet this criteria. That criteria has to be there. So we should not it should not be thought of that the Brahmabhuta platform is like, I'm seeing lights or something like that. You know, in the movies, when the person becomes enlightened, he just starts to look starry-eyed and... You know, it was more like scary than enlightened, but they generally, just like there was one young man that came to our temple yesterday. He was coming before we met him at the Peace Fest, way out in No Man's Land when there was like real heavy drugs coming. So he's a very nice guy, Polish guy. He came yesterday. When we were on Harinam about 2 or 3 weeks ago, he also came. He just somehow got off the bus right where we were doing Harinam. And we're like, wow. So I was trying to have a conversation with him, and he was just like, and I was asking him questions, well, what were you doing? How was your trip? And he, so I mean, obviously, and then I said, well, where were you? He said, I was in, like, I think he said Portugal or somewhere in the European countries with spiritual people. I said, oh, this is the problem. Now, whatever the conception of spirituality was, you know, just walking around looking starry-eyed, and more it looks like a horror face, you know, like in the movie, like a horror picture than a spiritually enlightened. But so he was thinking in that way somehow. That spiritual realization is not a question of, you know, looking starry-eyed or having some, you know, all of a sudden, you know, an epiphany. And I realize that the idea of self-realization means what is the practical understanding I'm becoming self-realized is my values change. That's what it means to have a realization. Your values change. Just like someone knows that smoking cigarettes is not good for them. Right? It says on the pack, this will kill you. They know that also, but they don't realize it. So because they don't realize it, their value doesn't change. And that's indicated by their what? They're smoking a cigarette. So as they realize the actual situation of what smoking cigarettes is all about, then what happens? Their values change. And what is it indicated by? They stop smoking. So realization is a very practical thing. When you get realized, your values change. When we're not realized, we still value so many things in the material world, like modern education, getting a job, getting hitched, getting kids, you know, like this. These are like very valuable things. And they ultimately take on more importance for the living entity than the actual cultivation of Krishna consciousness, because we don't have any realization. But when we have realization, it doesn't mean that those things might still go on. You know, maybe not also, you know. But they might go on, but you realize you don't place value in them, right? That, to place value in something that has no intrinsic value is called anartha, right? Artha means value. So anartha means some false value and giving that importance. So when one gets a realization, he doesn't place value in that. Even he may be doing something like that by order of spiritual master or by applying progressive principles of spiritual development, but he doesn't value those things anymore. He may be engaged, but he doesn't value them. So how is it manifested practically? He takes seriously chanting Hare Krishna. He takes seriously hearing the Bhagavatam. He takes seriously associating with devotees with simplicity, without duplicity. This is the indicator, Brahma-Bhuta platform. And then, as I mentioned, that Sotra-Chitta Consciousness, there's an equanimity towards the situation and the environment. Where there's reversals, where there's gain, he's completely equipoised. And the third point is the devotional equanimity, as taught by Srila Prabhupada, is understanding that the environment is controlled by Krishna. This is how a devotee can be equipoised in the face of the ever-changing material environment. What is that? Tenu kampam sukshamikshamano. Bhunjane evatma kritam vipakam. Tava. Hidvav apubir vidanamaste. Jivita yomuktipade sidaya bhak. This is how a devotee is equipoised. And with him, he knows that Krishna is in control of the environment. He is tatenu kampam sukshami. He's eagerly awaiting the mercy of Krishna. And he's understanding that whatever is happening in the environment is given by the Supreme Lord for my purification, for authenticating my consciousness. Sometimes we self-deceive ourselves to be on a particular platform. So Krishna is very kind to help us authenticate that. And not only authenticate, but give us an opportunity for progress. Because in order to progress, you have to be tested, right? Did anyone go from the fifth grade to the sixth grade just like that? Maybe, I mean, they might be doing it in some of the school systems because, you know, it's just demoniac, just passing people along, you know. It goes on, especially in like more ghetto neighborhoods, the ghetto neighborhoods where people are disenfranchised. They kind of just pass the kids along. They don't. But in a proper system, you get tested so that to see how much you're knowing the subject matter. And when you pass the test, you move to the next level. So Krishna's putting, let's say, apparent difficulties in the environment is to help us not only authenticate where we actually stand in our Krishna consciousness, because there's a tendency for self-deception, but also to give us a chance for development, progress. Then Vedadanamaste, very humbly, he continues to offer his heart, words, and body in the service of the Supreme Lord. For that person, he'll attain Muktipade, he'll attain the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, who grants liberation. So this is how the devotee practices equality. This is all this verse, Tatenu Kampan Sushmikshamano, is told by Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas to be the process of Krishna consciousness. They call this verse the process. So this is not the final attainment, it's the process. So this consciousness must be developed if we want to develop pure devotion. Then the last point is, so how does it manifest practically? If there's some reversal, he says, oh, this is a result of my corrupted karma. I actually deserve much worse than this, but Krishna is so kind, he's only giving me a little taste of what I actually deserve. This is like, I shared this before. When I first joined the temple, one of the first services I did was cutting fruits with the devotee who was training me, Rivatinandana Prabhu. And the kitchen is a pretty dangerous place for karmic reactions to manifest in the Hare Krishna movement. Generally, karmic reactions manifest a lot in the kitchen because there's knives and all these things, you know. Very dangerous items are there. I mean, literally, I've seen many devotees get hurt in the kitchen. So it's like, you have to be careful when you go in there, offer prayer. Not only because it's Radharani's kitchen, but you might get a karmic reaction. Anyway, so I was cutting the fruit, and I kind of like nicked my finger when I was cutting the fruit, you know, and I went to put turmeric on it. And the devotees told me, see, you were supposed to lose the finger. And I started chastising, and I was mad. I was like, how insensitive, you know. I just cut my finger, and he's like, you were supposed to lose the finger. But because you're doing a little bit of devotional service, Krishna is so kind to you that you only got a little nick on your finger. I was like, so arrogant, you know. I couldn't take it in a positive way at that time. But of course, as we get more purified by the process of hearing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, then that is a proper understanding. Actually, I was supposed to lose the finger. But Krishna is so kind that because I was doing a little bit of something in Srila Prabhupada's movement, cutting fruits, I didn't lose the whole finger. I just got a little. So a devotee shall cultivate this mentality. Like sometimes it is asked, how do we know it's karma and how do we know it's Krishna? But for a devotee, it makes no difference. For a devotee, it's Krishna. That is the mentality, because in that way, he can become Krishna conscious, right? If you're thinking it's my karmic reaction, well, how do you become Krishna conscious by thinking in that way only? He thinks, yeah, it's my karmic reaction, but given to me by the Supreme Lord for my purification. In this way, a devotee practices the second point. And the third point, Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu, he sees all living entities equally. This is required for pure devotee. How he sees all living entities equally? Or let's say, what is the indication of a person who is seeing in this way or not seeing this way, having this realization or not having this realization? It manifests in the speech primarily. It manifests in the speech. This is how it can be understood, for the most part, that this realization is not there or it is there. It comes out in the speech. The tendency to falsely praise and criticize people on the material platform is a very acute disease of the conditioned soul. We already have the urge of the tongue, and it's very hard to control our tendency to speak. And generally, when we speak, it's usually about others. Either we're praising them, and more often is the case, we're criticizing them. Either the verbal speech or the mental speech. You know, the mental speech may be a more prominent feature in our devotional arena because we know we're not supposed to, like, talk about people in the open like that. But the mind, we're going on, seeing so many faults in the devotees. Many devotees have expressed that even during japa time, they have a hard time chanting japa because the whole period they're looking at the faults of the devotees. Oh, you're not supposed to do that. Oh, he didn't offer his obeisance to Prabhupada when he came in. Like that, and this tendency is very strong, the mental criticism, or even false praise, praising persons for various material qualifications and not for their intrinsic value, which is they have a relationship with Krishna. So this one is very hard to give up. It's very hard to realize. So here, Srila Prabhupada is teaching. There's a couple of sentences that was very nice that I'm focusing on here. Anyway, when one actually becomes spiritually advanced, he does not see the difference between one living entity and another. This platform is attained by determination. When perfect knowledge is expanded, one ceases to see the outward covering of the living entity. He sees, rather, the spirit soul within the body. Thus, he does not make distinction between a human being, an animal, a learned brahmana, and a chandala. So this is a very important statement. This is a very nice statement. When one becomes spiritually advanced, he can see the oneness of everything, as being mentioned here. He can see everything as one. It's not like the Mayavada one. So it's an understanding of the position of the absolute truth, of Krishna and his various energies. So this verse comes, I've been mentioning it a lot in the recent classes, para swabhava karmani, na prasham sin, na garhayet, this is a different one, similar, vishram ekatmakam pasyan, pakritta purushena cha. So Krishna says to Uddhava in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he says one should not praise or criticize the conditioned natures and activities of other persons. That's how we respond to that statement. That's my life and soul, you know, praising and criticizing. How will I stop? Krishna says, one should not, that means mental thing also, one should not praise or criticize the swabhava karmani. Swabhava means their nature and their activities of the souls. Why not? Then the question comes up, why not? You know, I like to praise and I especially like to criticize. Why should I not criticize? Krishna says, rather one should see in this world, Vishwam means the world, this universe, Vishwam ekatmakam pashyan. He should see that, pakritta purushanacha, he should see that in this world, there is the enjoying souls, and there's a combination of the enjoying souls and the material nature, all based on one absolute truth. Ekatman is one oneness of vision. What does it mean? So in this world, in this material world, there's a combination of the soul, which is Jiva Shakti, and the material nature, which is the manifestation of the Maya Shakti, right? And Krishna's Shaktis are not indifferent from him. We just like the sun ray is not indifferent from the sun, so Krishna's potencies are not indifferent from Krishna. So when it says he sees everything based on one absolute truth, it means he sees Krishna and his energies. So he sees the Jiva Shakti, he sees the Maya Shakti. Now, in the Maya Shakti, we're all in the Maya Shakti, right? Things appear to be good, passionate, or ignorant according to the interactions of the modes of nature, right? Mostly passion and ignorant. You know, we hardly see any goodness. Anyway, so, but these things that are produced by the modes of material nature are all illusory. The Maya Shakti is real, but the things produced by the Maya Shakti are illusory. Understand? So there's just like the example that's given in the purport for this particular verse is very nice. It is like a child playing with modeling clay, right? The modeling clay is real, per the example. But the forms that he's making with the modeling clay are not real. They're not substantial. They're just temporary. So sometimes he constructs a house with the modeling clay. Sometimes he constructs a tiger with the modeling clay. Sometimes he constructs a figure of the person he doesn't like and he slaps it. Whatever. But those forms are not real. The clay is real, but the forms being produced by the clay are not real. One doesn't take them very seriously, right? When you see a clay tiger, do you start you don't start freaking out, because it's just clay. It's just clay. It's not, the tiger is not real. Nor when you see a clay house, are you going to start packing your bags to go and move into the, because it's not substantial. But the clay is real, but the forms made by the clay are not real. So similarly, the Maya Shakti is real, but the forms that Maya Shakti are producing are not substantial. They're very temporary and substantial things. So the person who's on the spiritual platform, he can see this. He can see that everything in this world are illusory forms of the Maya Shakti. And therefore, he doesn't take the illusory forms of the Maya Shakti very real. And he can also see the Jiva. So he sees that the Purushena, means the Jiva who's trying to enjoy in this world, has contacted the Maya Shakti. And the Maya Shakti has given him some illusory form in the form of a particular type of nature and a particular type of tendency towards activities. A realized person won't take that seriously. He won't take it seriously because it's just the Maya Shakti. The actual Jiva within the body is different. So one who doesn't have this realization, Krishna goes on to say, Paraswa Bhava Karmani, Na Prashamsati Ninditi Sa Ashu Brishate Swartha Asatya Biniveshata. This one I quoted many times recently. He says, those who criticize or praise the Swabhava Karmani, the nature and activities of the living entities in this world, then he says, Sa Ashu Brishate Swartha, then very quickly one will fall down from his real self-interest. How does he do that? Asatya Biniveshata, just by being absorbed in something temporary. So you're like freaking out about someone's nature and that, oh, I don't like he's doing this, she's doing that, I didn't like this, I didn't like that. On and on and on and on ad infinitum. And it's all temporary. And then at the end, you're dying, meditating on something that's asat. And then you gain asat as a result, another material body. So Krishna is very beautiful. This is they're philosophical verses, but they're very beautiful. And they're very important if we want to get to the pure devotional platform, that one has to stop this tendency for praising and criticizing the temporary forms of the Maya Shakti, simply absorbed in the temporary, aside. There's no question of the development of Krishna consciousness if one cannot stop that. We have the injunction from Rupa Goswami, stop prajalpa. So prajalpa is based on the lack of the development of the spiritual vision. So one must get this vision. It's essential for the pure devotional attainment. Krishna says the same thing in Bhagavad Gita. I always forget this verse. Nasute vitate bhavo, na bhavo vitate sataha, ubayor, api dristo antas, his conclusion, anta, tvanayos tattva darshibihi. So one who's a seer of the truth, right, he sees Krishna, he sees Jiva Shakti, he sees Maya Shakti, he knows what is sat, he knows what is asat, and he attracts himself to sat. Because he can see it. It's very simple, but beautiful language of the Bhagavad Gita. It's not just philosophical, it's totally exquisite, totally eloquent, because Krishna can speak concisely and make a very profound point. Those who are tattva darshi bihi, they see sat, they see asat, and they get attached to the sat. So here's the asat, someone's irritating, you know, nature and activities. And that's asat, and here's sat, the jiva soul. And he attracts himself to the spirit soul. Because he's tattva darshi bihi, he does not give any consideration as such or much value to the asat feature. A good example, Nityananda Prabhu, Jagai Madai. Jagai Madai doing all types of nonsense, but that is the asat feature of them, you say, of their conditioned situation. What did he attract himself to? The sat feature. So he did good for the spirit soul. So one has to become tattva darshi bihi. It's not a matter of just philosophizing. You have to realize it. Otherwise, there's no question of doing that. So how does one realize that? Prabhupada says here, when perfect knowledge is expanded, one ceases to see the outward covering of the living entity. When perfect knowledge expands, One ceases to see the outward covering of the living entity. He sees rather the spirit soul within the body. Vision is based on knowledge. This is the way it is not that, like I was saying in the beginning, it's not like, I see the spirit soul. I've attained the fifth stage of consciousness, you know, like that. No, his vision is based on transcendental knowledge. Divya again. That's because knowledge creates perception. I used to do this exercise at the university with students. Two students would be sitting next to each other, and they didn't know each other. So one student's name, for example, was like Abhishek. Another student's name was like, you know, Jerome or something like that. So I would ask Abhishek, I say, do you see Jerome? So it would be like a room of 20, 25 people. So he would like look around. Oh, I don't know why he would do that. It's useless. He doesn't know who Jerome is. But he would look around and he'd say, no, I don't see Jerome. And I said, Jerome's sitting right next to you. And they would say, oh, hi, Jerome, like that. They would kind of introduce him. Why didn't he see Jerome? Jerome was sitting right next to him because he didn't know who Jerome was. So when can he see Jerome? When he gets knowledge of who Jerome is, he can see him. So vision, spiritual vision, is based on transcendental knowledge. It's not like a very imaginative thing. So how does one get transcendental knowledge? He has to hear. By hearing, he gains transcendental knowledge, divyagyan, then he sees. So when it says he sees, you know, if someone is like seeing lights and all these things, that's great. You know, I don't know, but if someone can see like that, you know, all power to you. But generally what is being discussed here, when they can see, it means they're seeing according to the eyes of knowledge, jnana chakshu, which they received from Hari Guru Vaishnavas. So this is most important thing. Prabhupada teaches in the Ishopanishad that these self-realized souls, they are not, this is one of my favorite statements of the Ishopanishad, I think mantra 6 or 7, Srila Prabhupada teaches that the self-realized souls, they are not misled by external bodies, but attracted to the spirit soul within. Which has always touched me a lot when I read that. They're not misled by the swabhava karmani, you know, their psychology, their physical, but attracted to the spirit soul. How do they get attracted? Because they have the knowledge that gives the vision. So Prabhupada says, also in the Ishopanishad, they don't see according to the naked eye, but they see according to spiritual sound vibration. They don't see according to the naked eye means what? It means this eye and this mind. The mind, speculating all the time. There's also naked eye. This eye, and this eye sees something, then this eye starts speculating. So they don't see according to this eye and this eye, but they see rather according to Shabda Brahman, spiritual sound vibration. Spiritual sound vibration comes from the mouth of Hari, Guru, and Vaishnavas, and it delivers to the heart of the Jiva, the spirit soul, delivers to the heart of the soul through the doorway of his ear. The Prabhupada gives us that. It delivers to the heart of the Jiva through the doorway of his ear transcendental knowledge. Divyagyan, which gives his spiritual perception. Shudagyan, that means knowledge of what? You know, technical language, sambandha knowledge, abhideya knowledge, prayojan knowledge. These have their different divisions, and overall they're called Dashamula Tattva. There's a reason I'm mentioning this in relationship to a point Prabhupada is making here in an essay of our acharyas. So when they hear, they're seeing according to the kirtan of Hari Guru and Vaishnava. Kirtan doesn't just mean singing, it means explanation is also according to Prabhupada in the first canto. So they're seeing according to they're hearing the kirtan of Hari Guru Vaishnava. And that is what they're giving consideration in their vision of the world. Generally, we give consideration to the naked eye. What the naked eye is understanding this one and that one. But the self-realized devotee particularly, he is seeing the world according to the kirtan that he's heard from Hari Guru and Vaishnava. And he practices hearing that kirtan constantly. That's how he's able to see in that way, constantly. He keeps the kirtan going on. 24-hour kirtan? Yes. 24-hour kirtan should be going on. But not just the one that you have to go to New Vrindavan for, but the 24-hour kirtan is supposed to be going on internally. They're hearing constantly the explanations of Hari Guru Vaishnava repeatedly. And that way he gains the spiritual vision. Oh, the living entity is not his body, he's a spirit soul. So when the living entity is doing something funny and weird with his conditioned nature, that doesn't bewilder him because the kirtan is going on in his mind and heart. So he doesn't become at all bewildered. This vision, this platform is attained by determination. This vision is attained by determination. We're usually thinking like somehow or other magically it's going to fall down. No, actually by determination one attains the spirit. What is the determination? The determination to keep the kirtan going 24 hours a day. Otherwise, the mind also has his 24-hour kirtan program too. You know, I always mention this point. As soon as you wake up, he starts kirtan, isn't it? Sometimes it's amazing the type of nonsense things we can think of just upon waking up. I mean, if we're a little bit solid, we might offer obeisances to spiritual mind. You know, sometimes in a very improper way. Like. And then we sit up, and then the mind starts kirtan. And all types of nonsense vibrations, you know, all types of nonsense, and then come downstairs and kirtan is going on. So unless we counteract it with the kirtan that's supposed to be going on in our mind and hearts, then the spiritual vision cannot be evolved. Understand? So this hearing is most important. This is how the living entity can develop pure devotional service. We can develop spiritual vision by bhakti. Bhakti begins with what? It begins with shravanam. The first stage of the development of pure devotion is called shravanam disha. One has to hear for a long time in order to gain attraction to the kirtan of Hari, Guru, and Vaishnava. And when he gains that attraction, that kirtan will always be going on, those explanations. And he will not be bewildered by the things that are going on. And that way, he can attain pure devotion. Otherwise, our consciousness is always stolen by asat, criticizing and praising on the material platform, the conditioned nature of the souls. Then we will be lost. If we cannot stop this, there's no question of development of pure devotion. Practically, there are many major obstacles in development of pure devotion mentioned by Rupa Goswami in verse 2 and verse 3. But of them all, prajalpa is practically one of the most difficult to actually overcome. Therefore, in the very first statement, he says, vacho vegam, because this thing is most difficult. At least with eating, you have to stop at a certain point. You know, you have to. It's just absolutely necessary. But with speaking, praising, and criticizing, and especially with the mind, very difficult to stop. You know, there's a whole higher experience waiting for us in the spiritual world. And we're allowing such petty things like the conditioned nature of jivas to bewilder our minds. Then there's no question of spiritual development. Again, another breath. You're meditating on asat, you get an asat situation. Simple philosophy. So are there any questions? My class is actually only a half hour. It started at 8 o'clock because of the Dharmadhar Rasa coming a little long. I mean, I was trying to be... Normally we start at 15 minutes till, so technically speaking, it would be 8:15 now. But it's actually 8:30 because it went a little longer, so... Anyone wants to say anything? Ask anything? Ask any questions?
Thank you. It's a nice topic. Thank you, Prabhu. Something you were mentioning the other day in Bhagavad Gita class about simplicity of mind as we're trying to learn something about Krishna consciousness. I can't see you. I don't have my glasses today, so I apologize if I look weird or anything. Oh, okay. I'll just be self-realized for today. Like, I don't know what's going on. So, you know, which nicely relates to what you were discussing today, because we don't have spiritual vision or even the knowledge to cultivate that spiritual vision according to just the hearing process, because we haven't done it yet. But at the same time, we have to be engaged in devotional service, engaged in relationships, engaged in whatever we get engaged in, somehow do that in a Vaishnava manner. So, I mean, I had some thoughts about how we can more quickly come to the stage of having a proper behavior without having the proper knowledge or proper disposition. I guess it's a better thing to say. The behavior comes from the disposition. So a better disposition without having that knowledge.
I would say we don't have the knowledge. It may not be in like a perfected form as such. Like all the conceptions may not be 100% clear. But it's not like we don't have the knowledge. Like for example, we hear the point Trinada Pisu Nichena Antorori Vasishuna. You know, so we've gained some knowledge. But in terms of the application of it, because we're not perfectly having the vision of the thing and so on, we don't apply it. So Prabhupada says that this vision can be obtained by determination. So the point that I was trying to emphasize, I didn't do a very good job, is that if we have more determination to give preference to the kirtan of Hari Guru and Vaishnava, like how we should be acting in relationship to other living entities, because all these things are told to us. At least many of us have been hearing for at least 1 year, so there's a lot gained in 1 year. You know, things that other transcendentalists don't gain for lifetimes, gain is gained just by attending the discussions of the devotees. So we've gained the knowledge in a theoretical sort of sense, but in our practical application, we don't give preference to that kirtan. We give preference to the kirtan that's created by our vision of the world according to the naked eyes that I was mentioning. So he said this knowledge is attained by determination. So there needs to be determination to give preference to the other kirtan and acting according to that kirtan. So here's a living entity, he's doing something that I don't appreciate with my naked eyes. But if I have determination to give preference to what my spiritual master is told in terms of how I should respect living entities, then that determination will see me acting in a respectful manner despite that, if I can give preference to that kirtan. But if I can't, then goes on and on and on and on and on. Oh, I forgot to make the last point, and that reminds me. Therefore, Prabhupada says this can be attained in the association of sadhus. And the way he defines sadhu is quite interesting. He says here, one desiring perfection or liberation. Liberation means what here? Liberation means the freedom from the duality, the freedom from seeing the conditioned nature in context. Should associate with a person who's already liberated, who's already having that equanimity of mind and that spiritual vision. This is called sadhu sangha, or associating with a perfect devotee. So sangha, of course, doesn't only mean association, it means also attachment. The word sangha also means attachment. So when one gains attachment to a sadhu, then he will give preference to the way the kirtan of his guru, Hari, Vaishnavas are going on. So there needs to be the development of attachment for sadhus in order to gain strength and determination to give preference to that, because the vision created by our eye and mind is so convincing. So then we may say how to develop, you know, there will be mistakes until we become mature, but if we can nourish the development of attachment for Hari Guru and Vaishnavas, you know, by the application of NOI 4 and the application of Bhagavad Gita chapter 10, text 9, which deals with devotee sangha, then it should be possible to develop the attachment and therefore gain strength and determination to give preference to their kirtan. Like that would be my...
Thank you for referring to that point that he made in the purport. I totally forgot it. That was basically what I was thinking, but you said it much more substantially. I appreciate it.
Okay. So anyone else wants to say anything, ask anything? No? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.